Muy buenas tardes a todos los que están conectados a través del satélite Amazonas.
Good afternoon to everyone connected through the Amazonas satellite and Eutelsat 8 satellite, another means of communication, where you are, Missionary Miguel Bermudez Marin, may God bless you greatly, and all the ministers, brothers and sisters, today, Friday, August 15 of this year, 2025. Our subject is a prophet like Moses. This message was preached on Sunday, March 26 of 2017 in Calle, Puerto Rico. And we read the scripture there of the sacred scriptures in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15 and on, where it says, "The Lord thy God will rise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me." In this Bible here, he underlines, "like unto me." He underlines it a lot. "Unto him ye shall hearken." And here in this other Bible, he underlines and circles, "unto him ye shall hearken." "According to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb, in the day of the assembly, saying, Let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. And the Lord said unto me, They have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet among their brethren, like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth. And he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, will... And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him." There on the top of verse 15, he writes Amos 3:7 and 8:11, a prophet like Moses. In the introduction that Dr. William Soto gave us the Friday before that date, which was on Friday, March 24 of 2017, in Panama, in that introduction titled A Prophet Like Moses, he tells us, prophets are predestined before the foundation of the world to be prophets in some part of the divine program, which he will be carrying out here on earth. In the edited Book of the Ages, on page 66, which is the 67th page from the book in English, it tells us, "Thus, what the church was at Pentecost is the standard, that is the pattern. There is no other pattern. No matter what the scholars say, God has not changed that pattern. What God did at Pentecost, he has to keep on doing until the church ages close. Though scholars may tell you the apostolic age is over, don't you believe it? Such a statement is wrong of two counts. First of all, it is wrong to suppose that there aren't any more apostles because the original 12 are dead. An apostle means a sent one." He writes there to the right, towards the top, he writes apostle equals sent one. "And there are many sent ones today, but they are called missionaries. As long as men are being called and sent forth with the word of life, there is an apostolic age going on. There below he... Here, in this book of the ages, he writes, Jesus is a colon, prophet, apostle, teacher, shepherd, evangelist. In other words, he is everything in his first coming, and he is everything in his second coming as well. Now, it continues to say here where we had paused. Dr. William Soto continues to say, "That is why God sends his prophets with both consciences together, so that they can hear from God, so that they can hear from God what they have to speak to the people of God who are under the divine covenant relevant to the time in which God sends that prophet messenger. with the word that he reveals to him, which he gives to him, which God places in his heart, in his mind, and in his mouth, so that he may speak anointed with the Holy Spirit that word of God for the people under the divine covenant. Now let's continue here where we paused in this page 67. In this one is the version below it. He says, secondly, they refer to an age of manifest Holy Ghost power has been over since the Bible has been completed. That is untrue. There is not even one scripture that suggests that, but many conclusively state otherwise. Here is our evidence to prove that both of these charges are false. Now, our brother William goes on to say here, there are prophets sent to the Hebrew people, and there are prophets sent to all nations, as God says to Ezekiel, and also as he spoke to prophet Jeremiah, and as the prophet Elijah was, who also prophesied unto Gentile nations, Prophet Elijah was a prophet for Jews and Gentiles as well. In the unedited or edited Book of the Ages, this one is the edited one, yes, the edited one, on page 39, he tells us, but notice another religious revelation in this typing of Joseph. And there he writes to the left, he writes Christ, and he writes below that, he writes Joseph. Joseph, while in Egypt, was given a Gentile bride, and through her he received a family of two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. And he writes there on the left, Manasseh and Ephraim. Joseph asked his father to bless the two boys. He placed them in front of Jacob so that Manasseh, the firstborn, would be on Jacob's right, and Ephraim to the left. As Jacob was about to bless them, he crossed his hands so that the right hand fell upon the younger. Joseph cried out, "Not so, father. This is the firstborn to your right." But Jacob said, "God crossed my hands." Here in type, we see that the blessing which belonged to the firstborn, the Jew, was given over to the younger, the Gentile, through the cross, crossed hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. The blessing comes through the cross. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, "Cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree, that the blessing of Abraham might be come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." Galatians 3:13-14. The blessing of Abraham came through the cross to the Gentiles. The Jews rejected the cross. Therefore, Jesus got the Gentile bride. And he writes there to the left, Ephraim. And on top of Ephraim, he had also written Dan. Now, getting back to the story of Joseph meeting his brethren, you recall that not all the brethren came. Joseph knew that and insisted that all the brethren appeared before him, or he could not make himself known to them. Finally, they brought the one who was missing, little Benjamin. It was little Benjamin, the full brother of Joseph, that set his soul on fire. And when our Joseph, even Jesus, will come to the people who have kept the commandments of God and who have gone back to Palestine, his soul will be set on fire. Little Benjamin typifies the 144,000, and he writes to the right, Benjamin, the 144,000 Israelites from all over the earth who have gone back to Palestine for their redemption. They will be standing there ready to receive him, whom to know aright is life eternal. They will say, "This is our God for whom we have waited." And to the right he writes, Jose, and he writes, "This is he." Then they will see him whom they have pierced, and they will cry out in dismay, "Where did this awful wound come from? How did it happen?" And they will wail and cry, every family apart, everyone apart, in the agony of sorrow. Above that, In the top margin, he writes Benjamin, a dash, 144,000. Joseph, a dash, Jesus in his angel. Now, it continues to say in this message that's taken from this excerpt of the Book of Quotations. It is from the message Question and Answers on the Hebrews Part 3 on page 22, paragraph 176. It says, "And there's two them witnesses, and when they tormented the church or the world by their preaching and received back the Jews and bringing them back to repentance, bringing them back to believe on, when they see Jesus coming for the bride, they will say, 'Lo, this is our God who we waited on.' That's him. But he does not come for them. He comes for his bride, and his bride," an ellipsis. When Joseph went into Egypt, he did not take his brethren with him, but he got his bride there, absolutely. But when he made himself known to his brethren, there was nobody present. That's exactly right. And when he makes himself known to these Jews, there will be nobody there but them Jews. There's them who killed Joseph standing there, and he said, "Well, I am Joseph, your brother." And he wept. And they said, "Now we know we are in for it, because we killed him." The same thing. Those Jews will have that great time of trouble just before the coming now of the persecution, running them back into the homeland. In other words, before revealing himself, notice everything that has happened to the Hebrew people during this time in which they have returned to their land. Before him revealing himself, meaning that all of that has been happening before him revealing himself, before the coming. It's shooing them like a bunch of sheep back to the Mount Carmel yonder. When the Lord Jesus shall come for his bride and they see him, they'll say, "That's the one we've waited on. There he is. He'll rise with healing in his wings." At the top here in the Book of Quotations, in this one, he writes, the tenth vision. The Jews see Christ coming for the bride. And he writes, Moses and Elijah and their preaching's torment. And in this other Book of Quotations, which is the original one, the small one, which is thick, the cream-colored one, in that quote, here on page 43, and in that quote he writes above, the Messiah among the Gentiles, a colon, and the Jews will recognize him. Where will they recognize the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Christ? Among the Gentiles. That is, they will see that messianic ministry among the Gentiles in a prophet like Moses. Now, Dr. William Soto goes on to say here, therefore, we find that just as there are prophets for a single people, which is Israel, or Christianity, or Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, there are also prophets who are for both Jews and Gentiles at the same time, just as the prophet Elijah was, just as the prophet Elisha was also, the prophet Jeremiah was also one of them. In the Book of the Seals, on page 341 from the book in Spanish, Reverend William Branham tells us here, in this message of the sixth seal, at the bottom of 341, it says, and we find out that the Bible says that all of Israel, the predestined Israel, will be saved, Romans 11. Why couldn't this be before? Because it hadn't happened before. Now you can see it, you see? See the great Holy Spirit, seeing those things coming down through the ages and times, and now it's being revealed, and then you look there and see that's the truth. There is where it's at. Now, It was the martyrs in the tribulation or the pre-tribulation of Eichmann. Now, they only type the martyrs of the 144,000, which we are entering into between the sixth and the seventh seal, see? And the seventh seal is just one thing, that's all. And this, it was silence in heaven for a space of half an hour. And there on the left he writes, silence in heaven for half an hour in the seventh seal. And now only God can reveal that. It's not even symbolized nowhere. That's tomorrow night. Pray for me. See? Now, we notice now, as we go into the sixth seal, now, may the Heavenly Father help us as we settle down now to this sixth seal. Now, this 12th verse of the sixth chapter in Revelation, and I beheld when he opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as a sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto earth, and even as the fig tree cast her untimely figs, when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heavens departed as a scroll when it's rolled together, and every mountain and every island were moved out of their place. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bond, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. Notice there? Look at them, mighty men, see? What had they done? They had received the wine of the wrath of the fornication of the harlot, see? That's exactly the same class that drank of her wine, see? And said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come. And he writes there, eighth day equals the day of vengeance. On top there of great day of his wrath. And he writes, eighth day equals the day of vengeance. And who shall be able to stand? What an introduction to see the riders now, the riders' beasts, that the answering beasts have ceased. Then we take it up. We see the martyrs under the throne. Now, this, from the time these martyrs are the true Orthodox Jews that died in Christian faith, or in religious faith, because they could not be Christians. Remember, God blinded their eyes, and they are going to be blind for a long time until the Gentile church is taken out of the way, because God doesn't deal with them two people at the same time. It's because it's very contrary to his word. And he writes there at the bottom, God doesn't deal with two peoples at the same time. Remember, he deals with Israel as a nation. Always, it's the nation of Israel, the Gentiles as individuals, people taken from the Gentiles. And it had to, the Gentiles had to made up of all the people of the world. So now, and then there is the Jews come into that, see, just like an Arabian or an Irish and Indian and what more. It's all the people of the world make up a bouquet bride, see? In a quote he says, the rapture internationally, meaning from different places. But now when it comes to dealing with Israel in this last part of the 70th week, he deals with them as a nation. The Gentiles are finished. That is, already, notice, the dispensation of grace has finished. The hour is soon arriving, and maybe yet this very night that God will completely turn from the Gentiles altogether. And on the right he writes Revelation 10. Exactly. Because in Revelation 10 we see him coming down with that little book opened in his hand. In other words, he had already come out from the throne of intercession. Exactly. He said so. They shall tread down the walls of Jerusalem until the Gentiles' dispensation be finished. The times are over. Yes, sir. And then, let him that's filthy stay filthy. Let him that's righteous be righteous. See? there is no more blood on the seat in the sanctuary at all. There is no more blood on the altar. The sacrifice has been removed, and there is nothing but smoke and lightning and judgment in there. And that's just exactly what poured out here tonight. And he writes there, the plagues. See, the Lamb has done, left the his mediatorial work. The mediatorial work has been finished from over on the throne. And the sacrifice, as we've typed him perfectly, the kinsman redeemer, the bloody Lamb that come forth, a Lamb that had been slain, a bloody one, been killed, bruised, come forth, and took the book out of his hand. That's the days are finished. Now he is coming to claim what he has redeemed. Amen. That just sends something through me. And on the left he writes, claim. Now Dr. William Soto continues to say here, a little after in this same message of the introduction, which is a prophet like Moses, it says, the entire divine program is simple, and that is why sometimes some had not understood it, because they see it from an intellectual point of view, but it is simpler than what people imagine. A prophet like Moses is a dispensational prophet, and that is the subject for the Bible school and Bible study for next Sunday, God willing. In the message, Why Cry, Speak, on page 23 from the booklet in Spanish, Reverend William Branham tells us, now, Moses gave away to that, and he said, his faith paralyzed the world. Either your faith will paralyze glamour, or either the glamour will paralyze your faith. And he writes there, either your faith paralyzes the glory of the world, or the glory of the world paralyzes your faith. I will read it again. Either your faith paralyzes the glory of the world, or the glory of the world paralyzes your faith. It continues to say, now, you have to take one or the other. And you see, the Bible don't change. God don't change. He is the unchangeable God. And he writes there on the right, God doesn't change. And now we find today that the people of this day, see, they look to the big things, the big organization. I belong to so-and-so, see? And they go down there and look, there is no difference from the street people. There is no other things. They have a little intellectual something and go on. When you talk about divine healing, the pillar of fire, the light of God, they say, that's mental. A man picked up the picture of the angel of the Lord the other day, a Baptist minister, and laughed at it. That's blasphemy. See? There is no forgiveness for that. Now, a picture. Look, at the bottom he writes, blasphemy, laughing at the picture. In other words, if laughing at a picture is blasphemy, and there is no forgiveness for that, even more so when they use photos and post things to mock and laugh, there is no forgiveness from God for that. That is blasphemy, and there is no forgiveness from God for such people. That's what Jesus said. See, it's blasphemy when you see doing the very works that Christ did. And he said, when they seen that works in Christ, he was the sacrifice. And they called him Beelzebub, a devil, because he was doing it. And now, they say, he said, I forgive you for that, but when the Holy Ghost comes to do the same thing, you speak a word against it, it'll never be forgiven you in this world or the world to come. See? Just one word is all you have to say against it. On the left, he writes towards the top, blasphemy equals speaking against. That is, everyone who speaks against the manifestation of God, that is a blasphemy. And he says there, it will never be forgiven you in this world or the world to come. It'll never be forgiven you. in this world or the world to come. See, just one word is all you have to say against it. See, and then, because if that life, if you have been ordained to eternal life, then that life would burst forth when you see it. You would recognize it like the little woman at the well and the different ones. But if it's not there, it can't come to life, for there is nothing there to come to life with. See? If he doesn't have that germ of life there, he will never be able to see it, and that light will never germinate in that person, because there's nothing there to germinate. And he writes on the right there, upwards, the predestined will see the light. See, the predestined will see the light. Whosoever isn't predestined won't see the light. As my old mother used to say, you cannot get blood from a turnip because there is no blood in it. Now, that's the same thing, and it paralyzes what little faith you have got. Lot could see the glamour, but didn't have enough faith to see the fire that would destroy such glamour. I wonder if we have today, I wonder if us, well, as the woman that wants to be popular, that wants to act like the rest of the women in the church, if they see that they want to act like the rest, they can see the possibilities of seeing, of being a prettier woman by being painted. They can see a prettier woman by having a younger appearance, by cutting their hair and acting like some of the others or the movie stars. But I wonder if that hasn't paralyzed their faith to know that the Bible says that a woman does that is an unhonorable woman, and a woman that puts a garment that pertains to a man is an abomination before God. Slacks and so forth, and shorts as they are wearing, and it just becomes so calloused till it becomes a regular routine of the people doing it. I wonder if they don't paralyze the very little faith that you had even to go to church, you see? That's the thing it does. Now, our brother William goes on to say here, through that prophet like Moses, as Moses was and as was Jesus, among Christianity, there will be a great revelation from God to give the believers in Christ of the end of time the faith to be transformed, who will be called and gathered. That is the miraculous catch of fish, the catch that Brother Branham desired. Notice, in this end time, in the fulfillment of the tent of vision, it is being carried out. And it's there in the teaching under the tent that we were told that the rapturing faith will be made known. The mystery of the seventh seal will be revealed. The coming of the Son of Man with his angels will be made known. To give the believers in Christ of the end time the faith to be transformed, who will be called, gathered, and prepared to be transformed, receiving the rapturing faith or faith of transformation relevant to this end time, in the age of the cornerstone, an age parallel to the age of the first coming of Christ. That is how it will be in this end time. That is why God sent the forerunner of the second coming of Christ, Reverend William Branham, just as he had sent John the Baptist to forerun the first coming of Christ in the age of the cornerstone, in the cornerstone age of that time. Therefore, the dispensational messenger at that time, Jesus Christ, was the cornerstone rejected by the builders, the stone that crowned the church of the Old Testament under the covenant it was given under the law. Look here in this message. In Revelation chapter 5, part 1, Reverend William Branham tells us here. Let's find it here in the book to see which page it is in the book, because here in the booklet it's on page 12, or it starts on page 11, but here in the book it's on page, let's take a look here, Revelation chapter 5, chapter 5, part 1. This corresponds to the paragraph, because here it starts on page 11. Here it is. It says on paragraph 57. Let's see if it's the same one. Page 57. Yes, it is the same one. That is paragraph 57. It's on page 651 of the unedited Book of the Ages. And notice what it says here. In the booklet is page 11, in the booklet in Spanish, and it says, "Now, in this last quotation, for a little background to get set where John is now, we found out that in the last message, and ellipsis, I was just barely looking over it yesterday, some of the context that I had spoken of, and John was carried up into." And he writes, rapture, and John was carried up into heaven and saw those things. And I had noticed in there that he had given me a revelation that, an ellipsis, you know, after his resurrection, many was with him, and some said, what will happen to this man that's leaning upon your bosom, John? And there on the left, he writes, the Benjamin, the youngest, and he draws a cornerstone in the ages, and he writes, and he draws an arrow towards the cornerstone. Jesus turned and said, that was, he wrote that to the left, the Benjamin, the youngest, and he draws a cornerstone in the ages. Jesus turned and said, what is it to thee if he tarries till I come? So he never... an ellipsis, then there went a doctrine out, and there to the left he had written rapture as well. And then there went a doctrine out. See how easy it can start? There went a doctrine out of that, that John wasn't going to die until he sees Jesus coming, or until the second coming. See how they take the words or the message and twist it, even from something so simple. And they can speak things that aren't really what the messenger meant to say. And many times they put it in a way that benefits them. No, he told me such and such a thing, that I should do this or that I should do that, or to keep this to myself, or to speak this or to say that. In other words, different things. And within the context that had nothing to do with what the person is saying, the same happened here with what Jesus said. In this part here where he said, what is it to you if he tarries till I come? From that they said that John wouldn't die, but who said that he wouldn't die? He wasn't saying that he wouldn't die. See? See how easy it can start? There went a doctrine out that John wasn't going to die until he sees Jesus coming, or until the second coming. The Bible said that there was a doctrine went out of that. Howbeit, Jesus never said it that way. He said, what is it to you if he tarries till I come? And he writes there Revelation 4:1. Now we find out that he was lifted up into the heavens and saw from then until the coming of the Lord, as though he had been there and seen it all happen. And on the left he writes, rapture. John himself did not live. He lived to be 90-something years old, and then died in a natural death. The only one of the apostles after coming from his exile from Isle of Patmos. Now, there is one standing point that I think they've taken the blackboard down, but I would like to emphasize on it a little before we strike this vital thing. Oh, this is glorious, a wonderful, wonderful chapter. And then, the very next chapter begins with the opening up of these seals. Oh my, and then we have to skip from there and go different places in the Bible to get these seals. when they open and what the mysteries of them are. Oh, they are glorious, just rich with spiritual vitamins. And to the left there, he writes, spiritual vitamins. Now, we see that one of the great outstanding things I'd like to bring to your attention was the living creatures of the last part of chapter 4 that John saw watching that Ark of the Covenant. You remember how they were fixed just like Israel in its marsh? They had, now, on there was a face of the living creature, and we found out that these creatures were not angels, neither were men. They were cherubims, and we found them in the Old Testament with the Ark. We find them in the New Testament, and then we find them over in the coming of the Lord again, cherubims guarding the mercy seat. The mercy seat which no one could approach unless there was an atonement there for that person. Only way that the sanctuary, an ellipsis, when it was sprinkled of the blood, then it became a mercy seat. But after the blood was taken off, then it became a judgment seat. And there he writes in the booklet, Revelation 6, verse 12. And here, in the book, to the right, he writes, throne of God. And, oh my, no one could stand the judgments of God. The only thing that we can look for is mercy, no judgment. Not judgment, not righteousness, we cannot approach his justice. And look there, he writes on top, he writes, Moses and Elijah. What and who is justice? At his coming, it becomes Moses and Elijah. Because his justice, he will have to keep his word, and keeping his word, the day you eat thereof, that day you die. Who would want justice? I don't want justice, I call for mercy. My, let the mercy of God, and ellipsis, and the mercy seat sprinkled. But there was a time of cleansing of the sanctuary, when it was a judgment seat as long as the blood was of the seat. And he writes there to the right, throne, judgment. Now, but, he says, but there was a time of the cleansing of the sanctuary when it was a judgment seat as long as the blood was of the seat. Now, we are approaching that time now, and he draws a cornerstone there on the left. We are now approaching in this age, and he writes the age of the cornerstone. Where is the cleansing of the sanctuary? In the age of the cornerstone. We are now approaching in this age a cleansing of the sanctuary and the judgment coming upon the earth. See? As long as blood is there, God cannot destroy the earth. Because, notice, He is in the most holy place. And since the Holy Spirit is in the midst of His church, then God cannot destroy this planet Earth. God cannot destroy the Earth as long as the blood is there. Nobody is a sinner before God. Everybody is right, because there is an atonement for everybody. But if you fail to accept that atonement and go into His presence, then you are a sinner. You are beyond that mercy. That is why he says that he who receives Elijah and Moses, he who receives his message receives mercy. Then you have judged yourself. Look, on the right he writes, nobody is a sinner on earth as long as the blood is in the most holy. Then you've judged yourself. But now, while there is mercy, But when the cleansing of the sanctuary comes, see, that is a time of cleansing of the sanctuary, and he had put there 1974 to 1977, which is a type and figure of this end time. The blood goes off the mercy seat, and then the wrath of God falls upon the earth. Oh my, God be merciful to us, that we be not in that day found without mercies of God. On what age? In that age which he had told us in that paragraph that he was to come, which is the age of the cornerstone, which is the place and time of the cleansing of the sanctuary. Did you see? Now, on the left, he writes upwards, the destruction of earth equals in the sixth seal, Revelation 6:12. Now, here in the book, in that paragraph 68, to the left, he writes, the wrath of God, and on the right, he writes, cleansing of the throne. Now, our brother William goes on to say here, and now Jesus Christ was a prophet like Moses, a dispensational prophet. That is why his message covers the entire dispensation of grace, just as the message of Moses covers the entire dispensation of the law. The message of the messenger who will come at the last day, of which Reverend William Branham was the forerunner of that messenger who would come at this end time, who will be a prophet like Moses, his message will cover all the dispensation of the kingdom, as simple as that. See, there he was pointing to, and that was in 2017, that messenger that was already in the midst of the church, he had already grown up, and the time would come when that messianic ministry would start, begin, which, with his message, would cover all the dispensation of the kingdom. In the message, Souls That Are in Prison Now, on page 47, it tells us, page 45 from the book in English, he says, look, people, listen, did you know, you say, Brother Branham, oh, what about all of it? You know, people can go right on preaching the gospel like they always did. What they call the gospel, it could be over. And he writes there to the right, the gospel of grace. See? Which many are preaching, many preachers preaching the gospel. What they say, he says, what they call the gospel, which is the gospel of grace. But that could already be ending. That could. It could be over. They did in the days of Noah. They did in the days of Lot. They did in the days of Jesus. That's right. Even the Jews, after Jesus told them that the wrath, you're done, you're finished, there is no more, you're finished. And on the left, he draws a Star of David. And below, he writes Revelation 10 from 1 to 6. And he writes, Jesus spoke to them about judgment, and then he was ready for the third pool. Because the warning comes first. Then they cannot say, I wasn't told anything, or I wasn't warned. It continues to say, oh, he said, that holy roller, what school did he come from? Where did he come from? Remember, he was ready for his third pool. That's right. He said, how often I have hovered you. Lot made his last call, or, I mean, the angel did, the messenger, ever who he was, God represented for this day. On the right, he draws a Star of David, a cornerstone. God represented for this day, God represented in human flesh, and he writes there, Elohim, made the last sign, performed the last duty, and it was all over then. Noah preached his last sermon, the doors closed behind him, and there on top he writes, fourth generation, and he draws a cornerstone and the ages, and in the cornerstone he writes, four, because four represents deliverance. And there at the beginning as well of that paragraph, he writes fourth generation. He writes number four. He also writes four and a cornerstone. Noah preached his last sermon. The door closed behind him. That was all. They laughed at it and made fun of it. See, there are always people who mock, who laugh. Look, that happened in the time of Noah, in the time of Moses too, in the time of Jesus as well. Or did you think that it wouldn't happen at this time? Of course it would, because that had already happened in other times. And at this time, well, there have to be people for the scriptures to be fulfilled as well. And so that it is also recorded that at this time there were people who also mocked and also scorned God's mercy for the last time. They laughed at it and made fun of it. Think, the people can go right on preaching. The ecumenical council can join up with the Catholic Church just as they promised to do. All organizations can come on, but the mark of the beast is already there. They take it in that, see? He writes on the left, upwards as well, he writes, Noah, the door was closed. And our brother William goes on to say here, that will be a dispensational message. What will be brought by that messenger like Moses, that messenger, that prophet like Moses, a prophet like Moses. Let's stand and thus live in this subject that we have for today, a prophet like Moses, our dear brother and friend, Dr. William Soto Santiago.